Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Beloved in Christ, one more time, I greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say Christ is risen forever. It is a joy, it is a blessing, it is an honor to be visiting this holy community, to see all the beautiful faces in this holy community. Thank God we have more people, more children, and this is a good sign of the growth of this holy community. So this church, because of the leadership of Father Michael, so it's growing and it's becoming stronger and stronger and deeper in faith. When I say stronger, I don't mean like money and power and politics. This is not my concern. So we are strong when God is in our heart. We are deep, we are strong, and we are wealthy when God is fulfilling or is filling our heart and our life in general. So today, as you have seen, the first part was the tonsuring of a subdeacon. What subdeacon it means? Yeah, last night I explained very briefly. So what subdiaconate means? Subdiaconate is not an ordination. It's not part of the three ordinations. We have three ordinations only. Deacon, priest, and a bishop. Now, besides that, we have many titles. We have priest, archpriest, protopriest, and so forth. But it is under a priest. So the ordination is one for all those titles. A deacon, we have protodeacon, we have archdeacon, but it's one ordination, not many. So a bishop, we have metropolitan, we have patriarch, we have archbishop, we have, you name it, we have pope, but the ordination is one. The ordination for episcopacy is one. So only three ordinations we have in our church. So a deacon, priest, and episcopos. Episcopos means a bishop. The titles, like for example, the archbishop, when I was in the monastery, our late patriarch, Blessed Mary Ignatius, he bestowed upon me, you know, like having any clue, so just because of He wanted to appreciate what I am doing in North America, so that's why he bestowed upon me a title of an archbishop. So, but that it needs an ordination and a preparation and everything. No. And like today, this man had no clue about the elevation. So, how did that happen? So, I know my clergy. I have almost 150 clergy in my diocese. I know them by name. I know them by their families. I know their families. I know everything related to the clergy. And I know everyone when I ordained him. I ordained this man 10 years ago. So I know that, you know, I was watching and was observing and I was following what he was doing. So that's why, you know, like, no need. I appreciate when someone of you tells me, for example, Your Eminence, pay attention to this matter or that. So I appreciate that. But I am observing everything in my diocese. So that's why, you know, like, I know when every priest has to be elevated. Some people, you know, like think that just like 10 years immediately, you know, like automatically we elevate someone. No, doesn't work that way. some people, you know, like they've been ordained for many, many years, more than 10 years, and still the elevation never happened and maybe will never happen. So we judge someone by his actions, by his actions. Only God knows the intentions of us, of humankind. But we judge what we see. We judge what we observe. So Father Michael has been a very loyal and obedient and faithful in the church all those years. I have known him and I have known his family as well, and they have a special place in my heart, right? And I married that beautiful young lady. So today the elevation comes like as a token of appreciation to him and to the entire community with him. So that's why I said he is worthy to be elevated, to be an archpriest in this holy community, in this holy diocese, in holy diocese, in the Patriarchate of Antioch, in the entirety of the church. What's that mean? It means that, you know, like when we ordain someone, when we elevate someone, when we consecrate a bishop, this bishop or this priest or is not like limited to a certain jurisdiction. So he is part of the greater church of Christ. So now if he goes to the moon, they recognize his elevation. If he goes to Romania, if he goes to Russia, if he goes to Greece, if he goes anywhere, so they recognize him as an archpriest. So this elevation comes or took place in this holy community, but it belongs to the entire church. So the body of Jesus Christ is one. We here in North America, in Canada, so we praise God in English, for example. They do the same in Russia. They do the same, but different language, different culture. But the Orthodox ethos is the same. The faith is the same. And the holy body of Christ is the same. Today, as well, you know, like with him, the sponsoring of Subdeacon Barnabas. So Subdeacon Barnabas, as well, I have known him for a year, and I was told by Father Michael that he is a good man, and he is. He's an interesting person, and he is trying to get all the knowledge he needs and the church needs, and now he is serious finishing St. Stephen course. He's looking for more master degree, and he was talking to me about that, and this is what exactly the church needs. We need educated people. Why? Not to increase, you know, our knowledge and something like that, to be argumentative and to be, you know, like, no. Faith and knowledge go side by side. If we had the faith, without a knowledge, that faith could become like superstition. So we are afraid that if we don't have a support of this faith, that faith will lead us into superstition. As well, the opposite. If we have the faith but no knowledge, or if we have the knowledge without the faith, it might lead us to more secularism and more confusion and more, you know, like that. So we need both. In the Christian mind, in the Orthodox mind, we need faith and knowledge. But we need simplicity at the same time. We need humility at the same time. So anyone cannot say, I am a scholar, I am much more educated than anyone in the world. So I am correct and everyone wrong and you don't listen to my theories, this won't work. So the faith, the knowledge, and humility, and all the other Christian virtues. You know, what makes us worthy, what makes us worthy of having communion, of praising God, of claiming that we are, you know, like God, we look like God, you know, because He made us in His image and likeness. So we have to look like God. But as not in investment and in shape, the external, you know, appearance, we look like God in His virtuous life. We look like God in His all, you know, Jesus, you know, every day I'm in a different place. I don't live at home. I don't live at home. My office is like my cell phone, my iPad, my computer. I am traveling from some people. Yesterday, when I flew over here, a lady next to me, she said, "Thank God." Because of this kind of attitude. So the more we are humble, the more we should life and more. The church needs loving disciples. The church needs, and the children to be down to earth, he said, to talk to the children. We don't need to scare anyone in the church. So when we are down to earth, you know, many by Jesus Himself, and the church is the body of Jesus Christ. So we are not looking for a church. We are looking for people to understand the church the way it is. So that's why every time I open a priest, I tell him, your ministry begins in the church building, but doesn't end there. I need you to be out, from door to door, from home. I need you to be visiting everyone. Now, is every priest has this kind of gift? Of course not. Some of them, you know, lazy. They are lazy. I have to push them. I have to teach them. Like the way you are, your children and or so. I do the same. It has to come from within, from inside. If he believes in this, he loves them. If he cares for people, it comes natural. It comes from his heart, his mind. This name is causes. Mantras. He said the priesthood, he was giving a comparison between a priest and a king. He said, you know, if you see a king like a priest, you might salute him, you might greet him. But if you see a priest, the next side of the street, watching him, and he understands. If you see an archangel, he says, if you see an archangel, you may say, wow, this is an archangel. If you see a deacon, a priest, and this is what the way I was raised, when we saw a priest, you know, like on the side of the priest going to the altar. This is the Orthodox mind. The icon, the beautiful icon. So the priest has to be about money. The priest has to be about things. To be a figure like rings for the soul. What we have here. Can you give me this? Can you lift it up? Look what we have here. The church, and above the church, this eagle. Do you know what it means? It means they put it underneath, like they put it for the bishop to step on it. The bishop has to be on his lap to stay in his mind. It is actually very high. Very high. You know, if the parish council not here. If the parish council somewhere, they are fighting with each other, the presence of the priest is peace, not with this. If this is the case, many groups in Europe, so immediately the priest is a peacemaker and he will treat like his own child. The priest is the image of Christ. The priest is the teacher. The priest is the leader. The priest is the man of wisdom. The priest, everywhere he goes, he doesn't ask, he doesn't ask. The priest, when he is present, he has all this. You know, if he doesn't have that, the prayer book in his life. His mind is the Bible. priest is going to bless us. You know, we have some clergy and God is watching everything. A priest who fears God when he is behind the altar is in heaven, in the kingdom of God. He doesn't look at people. His focus is welfare of the community. He is your safety, your body, visit your loved ones, come from calls everyone, he checks on everyone, he tries to know what's happening in his parish, because he cares. He is the good shepherd. So that's why we elevate someone, because he is the image and the image of God. We don't elevate someone like just for political reasons. We don't elevate someone like to raise his salary, for example, or something like that. We don't think this way in the church. So I wanted you to know that the church is God, as I said. The deacons, if there are deacons, and the sub-deacons, all the people, one team, one group, one family, and united with each other and with God. This is the way we understand a parish. If everyone has, with a different agenda, with a different philosophy, whether, you know, like we are like in chaos, we are like in Babel's tower, you know, like everyone has a different agenda and different priority and so forth. So this holy community was given to Father Michael 10 years ago or less, and he is here to lead you, and he is here to lead you into the kingdom of God. So as I said today, sub-deacons, readers, deacons, bishops maybe, and priests, and everyone, they have to come out from the community because of his love and because of his dedication and because of his knowledge. So the other thing today I wanted to share with you, that we are the second week of after Pascha. So tomorrow, tonight at Vespers, and tomorrow after we have seen the doubting moment, that everyone has a moment of doubt, and that is healthy, that is not bad at all. In fact, unless I put my finger here in this body and whatever, I won't believe. So the doubt led him to be very deep in his faith. So now we have another image of what happened during the resurrection. We have Joseph of Arimathea and Mary bearing women. Two beautiful images. Two beautiful images. One, like determined, resolve, like his faith was in Jesus Christ. He dared to go to walk the Bible and ask for the Bible, while the other ladies, they were so courageous, and they were like they resurrection of Jesus Christ, but their determination, determination and resolve that Jesus was risen. Jesus is risen. So that's why they hide it. They didn't let any person, you know, like scare them. So here we need this to be in our community, in this community and any other community. We need people like Joseph. And we need people, ladies, gentlemen, like Joseph. You know, all these Christian virtues of Joseph, of the bear-bearing women, so all these Christian virtues, you know, like, they are available for everyone. Didn't we start like the age? Was our food a fast just like some food and some chocolate and things like that? What did we learn during the fast? Didn't we pray it many times? Didn't we pray, Lord, have mercy in many times? Didn't we receive communion in every pre-sanctified? So all these aspects, if you like, to stronger and deeper our faith. That is the preparation. The preparation for us to understand the whole resurrection of Jesus. That it was not faith. It was not, you know, real. It was all, you know, real. So that's why there is no truth. There is no Christian. You know, no one can claim that he is Christian if he doesn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. So, we have to act like the nail-bearing women here. We have to act like St. Joseph. Because, you know, like St. Joseph was a person and the nail-bearing women were again and again, we need the courage not to be slave anymore, not to be slave anymore. So we cannot act like Joseph during the more continuous. The fact before the holy resurrection of Jesus Christ was supposed to be distinct from the mind. The mind is fast. Here you have to fast. Essential. This is not, you know, like from a certain part of the mind. The food is for the stomach, and the stomach is the food, and God will destroy the both of them. Absolute distance from food cannot lead us to the kingdom of God. That is a little thing for, you know, like to acquire, and to have this. Why do we have to honor the Holy Theotokos in the Orthodox Church? Why, Bishop, you know, like most of the time, you know, like now I have, when I serve the Divine Liturgy, both the crush and the eye, but most of the time I have this. I am a man, I am male, for example. Do I have this Holy Lady on my body? Because here, So the purification of mind, soul and body is the number one. It's the cycle is not just because say Christ is risen. That is the biggest, you know, like way of greeting and the way of saluting people. So I pray for this good man. I pray for this good man to keep leading this holy community into every righteousness, into every holiness, by being a good example, by being loving and compassionate, and by being ready to minister and serve all of you. You don't need a prince, as I said, we have one prince. He is your servant, I am your servant, he is your servant. And if a clergy understand this kind of ministry system. Beloved in Christ. Today I am so blessed to be among you and to be visiting you in your life, shining on in your Jerusalem. You have to shine. We have to shine as well, and we have to be guided all the time to that radiant light of the resurrection. This is the Orthodox foundation, and this foundation is forever, not just for 40 days or 50 days. That is forever. May God bless all of you, and may God always watch over you and over the priesthood, over Father Michael and his family, and may God visit all of you in during the illness, during the business, during the any matter, any situation. And again, Christ is risen to all of you.